you have your Bibles, you take them, turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. If you don't have your Bibles, well, you can't do anything. Let's pray and we'll get going. Jesus, we give you thanks for letting us get up here, letting us get a weekend away. But I pray that we would pause long enough to realize who it is that we're speaking to. That God, so often I come so flippantly to you, and yet, God, I don't want to do that tonight. God, I want you to remind us, as only you can, of who you are and what you're like. That you call us to love you, but I pray that we would love you because we've met you, we know you, but we're blown away by you. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take this message, this feeble attempt of a human trying to explain God, and just do wondrous things with it, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. See, in the beginning, Jesus already was. When everything began, he was already there. See, that's what John wrote. He said, in the beginning was the Word. So when the beginning began, the Word already was. And you sit there going, it doesn't make sense in my mind. See, that's the thing about God. How many kind of gone to church pretty much your whole life? Okay, like from the womb, right? You took communion in umbilical cord style, you know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, that's good, and you kicked your mom's bladder. I like more, okay? So you get it. It's like you've heard all the stories. And so coming up to camp, it's like, is this guy really going to say anything that I've never heard before? Because honestly, I can't make anything up. I can't go, well, I know you've read Revelation, but there's also a new book I just found called First Brian, and then I get to explain everything about God. No, here's the job of the preacher. Think about it. We're supposed to try to remind you in a way that keeps you engaged of things you've already heard. And I know that some of you're sitting there and you got tricked. You had some friends say, hey, we're going to go hang out. You should come. We're going to go up to the mountains for a week, and it's just like 1,000 high schoolers. It's all you can eat. There's a cool band, and then you ride the buffalo, and then you do all this crazy stuff, and they never once mentioned Jesus. And now you're up here, and you're hearing all about Jesus, and you're like, you suck. Here's all that I'm hoping happens. That whatever happens, you are one step closer to an intimate relationship with Jesus. Whether you don't believe in him, whether you don't like him or hate him, or whether you've been walking with him forever and can't get enough of him, that you grow one step closer in this intimate relationship with Jesus. Because when we start looking at who he is, rather than who we've made him into, our minds should explode. Now, for some of you, you sit there and go, the reason I don't believe in Jesus is because he doesn't make any sense. Guys, that's the reason I do. You know why? Because a God that makes sense to me isn't worth my worship. He's not worth my praise. He's not worth me giving everything up for. Here's an example. I'm just telling you, I am not the sharpest tack in the box, okay? Because back in the day, in my day, when the SAT was out of 1600, I got an 880. I know, so you sit there and go, what an imbecile. I know. I think you get 400 points for just putting your name, and I probably spelled my name wrong anyway. Like, this is God's sense of humor right here, that I'm your speaker for the weekend. And my job is to try to convey to you about God. But friends, if Jesus makes sense to you, you should be most pitied because you think that you've already arrived. There's more about God, and he will take us as deep as we want to go. Guys, it's like this. In Matthew 17, it says this, verse 1. And after six days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Now, here's the thing. He always did this to those three. It's like there's the 12 disciples, and then there's the three, Peter, James, and John. You know who probably needed a little extra attention? Judas. Because homeboy screwed up, okay? He just did not do a good job. But he always took Peter, James, and John. And it's kind of like the same thing. Can you imagine? It's like Jesus always wanted to get alone, to spend time with his Father. He always spent time in prayer. And so then he starts taking the three. Out of the 12, he's like, okay, you 12, you three come. Can you imagine at first? You're Peter, James, and John. He goes, you three come with me. And you're like, Ah, losers. And then you walk with them. But after a while, don't you get a little bit bored? You're like, no, what do you mean? Guys, it seems like he always prays at night when it's late. Have you tried to do that and failed miserably? Especially wintertime. Because how many of you have that bed that calls you? You know what I'm talking about? It's like once you get out, you hear it. It's like, I already miss you. I miss you too. And then you jump back in. I don't want to leave. Okay. Or there's some of you, you're addicted to the snooze button. My wife, unbelievably awesome woman who looks amazing and loves Jesus, is addicted to it. Sometimes it's like five times. And I'm sitting there doing the math because I'm awake every time. Bamp, 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 bamp. Good thing you're hot. I know, and you look at this and go, there's no way she's hot. I'm telling you, this is God's mercy. And I am her ministry, and so it is not fair. But she keeps hitting it. I'm sitting there going, okay, why don't you just set it like 40 minutes later? Every time. I still ask her. Guys, you've been married almost 19 years. I still ask her. And then she gives me this look, almost like, are you that stupid? Because I answer the same. She says this every time. Brian, it's a process. I don't like your process. So you're addicted to it. So here's the thing. Every time he goes to pray, it's going to be late at night. So you've ever done that. You jump into bed. You pull the covers up. You wiggle, right? Wait, something like ready for bed. It's like, yes. Like, that is the biggest spiritual experience she's had since she'd been here. Yes. Yes. Okay. I feel like that's a cue to tell the speaker, why don't you shut up so I can go to bed? Okay, so you pull the covers up, and then you wiggle. You do the wiggle. You know what I'm talking about? You got to find the spot. So it's like you're kind of going, boop, there it is, right? And for some reason, at that moment, you honestly think, now I'm going to pray. It starts out something like this. Jesus, I want to just thank you for... And 14 hours later, you wake up going, amen. Amen. Friends ask you the next day, what'd you do last night? I just prayed all night long. Just prayed. So can you imagine Jesus looking at these three at this point? This is kind of toward the end of his ministry on earth. And he goes, hey, Peter, James, and John, come on. Can you imagine them going, absolutely. Oh, I can't stay awake. I'm so tired. Judas, go. Can you imagine? Think about what they would have missed if they said, not this time. Can you pick somebody else? Because here's the thing about following Jesus. It's not always this experience we're going to get into. Some of it's just going to be monotonous. It's going to be getting up to spend time with the God of the universe who wrote us a book that we could understand a little bit of his heart and his mind. To get up to spend time with them, to spend time talking to him, to gather with a bunch of Christians, to worship and to serve him. And no one's going to pay attention. No one's going to snap pictures and hashtag go, wow, amazing Christian. They're not going to care. It's just this monotonous thing, but it comes back to, is Jesus worth it? And for some of you, it's sitting there go, I don't believe in him. Guys, you got to at least have some intellect to realize, even if you don't believe Jesus to be God, there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth who walked the planet. He's a historical figure. Okay, that's all I'm going to accept. Okay, but now you have to come back to this question. Why is it that if he's this man born in, or raised in Nazareth, which is 40 square acres, how is it that one man has changed the world like he has? Guys, he should be obscure. When he died on the cross, it should have been over. But how is it that billions of people, since the time he came back from the dead and ascended on high, how is it that billions of people have devoted their lives to him? How is it that societies and cultures have been changed because of their passionate love affair with him? So you have to at least come to some conclusion and not just go, I don't believe it. Because honestly, and guys, I want to tell you, I love you, but I made a commitment to God to always tell the truth. Guys, if that's your attitude, it's lazy. Like, tackle it and come to some conclusion rather than, I just don't like it. I would say most of the time, people don't like Jesus. Why? Because we don't want to be told what to do. And we miss his heart behind the commandments. The reason God gives us commandments is because he adores us. Every good parent puts limits on what their kids should do. Why? Because they want them to live. I always use this example. When my little boys, I got a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old. When they were little, like Tyler's the oldest, when he started to crawl, that's when I became exhausted. And I've never regained energy since then. But we didn't want to make like our house kid-proof, where it's like we can't even open a drawer. I used to be able to get a spoon out, but it's always locked because this bratty kid. Okay, so we didn't want to do that. It's like, no, we wanted to learn. What is it about crawling babies when they look at an electrical outlet? And they look at it, and you know, in their mind, they're going, this will fit. Like, how do they look at the hole and go, yep, that's going in? And so I remember he crawled over, he looks at him like, Tyler, no. And seriously, this is when I knew he had a sin nature. Like, he looked back at me, and I thought, here's my little kid. Big old cheeks, red hair, like his dad used to. Shut up. So he just looks back, and he has that look on his face. And then it changed. It changed from, okay, Dad, to, I respectfully disagree. And all of a sudden, he reaches out toward the outlet, and a hand from heaven came flying down. Boom! And he looks up, what the? And I'm like, that's Jesus, buddy. No, I didn't do it. I said, no. And he did it again. So the hand came down. All of a sudden, he realized every time he puts his hand close to that, his hand hurt. He's like, it's not worth it. Can you imagine? As soon as they go, kids got to learn. Seriously, don't be a parent if you say that. Hey, Tyler, that won't fit. Here's a knife. Stick it in there. Just hold on. That's just not parenting. So when I say no to my kids, you know what the purpose behind it is? Their ultimate joy. And some of you guys have missed the commandments of God. As him trying to keep joy away. No. He's trying to increase your joy. Guys, we've made him out to be such a loser. We've made him out to be such a wuss. And for those of you that have followed Jesus for a while, if you're honest, haven't you got kind of bored with him? Just a little bit? Goes on, verse 2. That's only one verse. We're going to be here till Wednesday. Thank you. If you don't get to go to bed. Okay. And he was transfigured before them. And his face, now here's the thing that gets freaky. His face shone like the sun. Nothing. Okay. Tomorrow, well, there won't be a sun out tomorrow, but okay. Has anyone ever just gone out to stare at the sun? Guys, don't admit that in public. That's not right. Okay, just when there is sun out. Guys, think about it. They wake up to his face shining like the sun. And if that's not weird enough, and then his clothes become white as light, and then if that's not weird, behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Well, of course they'd show up. Moses who died, Elijah, did he ever die? No, guys, he got to leave the earth in an amazing way. Guys, he didn't die. He got picked up by a fiery chariot. That's how I want to leave Hume. on Sunday when you're trying to get all your junk back in the bus, just using a kid to stuff it in there? I'm going to leave Tommy the Tahoe, which is my, I named my car. I want to leave that sucker here and just go, hey, God's going to take me. And then have a fiery chariot show up. I don't have to put chains on. I just melt it all away and take off. How sick would that be? That's who shows up, Moses and Elijah. And here's why I think. Because when Jesus says, hey, just love God and love others, this is the totality of the scriptures. All the law and the prophets are summed up in these two things. Guess who shows up to have a chat with Jesus here? Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets. Those two, the law and the prophets, point us to Jesus. Those two show up to have a chat with Jesus, and Peter's there, and this is what Peter says. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, this is the part that doesn't make sense to me, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. I'll just make three forts. Elijah will have to take care of yours because we don't want to catch on fire. But like, I'll do it. Now here's the thing. As he's speaking, look at it. Verse 5, he was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them and a voice from the cloud said. Now some of you sitting there go, what'd the cloud say? Okay, let that sink in for just a second. A voice came from a cloud. This is why it would terrify the disciples. Because in Exodus, when God would meet with Moses in the tent of meeting, it said a cloud would descend. That represented the very presence of God. And they had an understanding that no one could be in the presence of God and live. So can you imagine as that cloud descends, the three disciples are going, what is this? And as it continues to descend, it's like, okay, maybe this is just fog, until God speaks. And that's when they wet themselves. Guarantee it. Because they're thinking, I remember back in Old Testament, Awana days, I remember the verses. Man, we're not supposed to live. They're trying to dig holes through the dirt. They're terrified of what's coming. But it's while Peter's speaking that God interrupts. The Father interrupts and says this, this is my beloved son. I love that part. Here's why. It's like he has to shut up Peter for just a second and go, oh, stop talking about tents. Are you serious? Like you see this and the first thing you want to do is build a fort? What are you, four? It's like he interrupts him in the midst of it. And when you look in the book of Mark, you know why Peter was speaking? Mark writes this, and the reason Mark would know this is because most scholars believe that Mark wrote down, the book of Mark, as Mark wrote it out, he's writing out what Peter's preaching or sharing, and so he would know this. The reason Peter starts saying those things is because he's terrified, so he just starts to talk. The Father interrupts and goes, hey, shh, stop it. You see this one whose face is shining like the sun? Yeah, that's my boy. Yeah, you got used to him. Oh, he does some miracles. And oh, remember when he walked on water? That's incredible. But he brings you out here to teach you to pray. He brings you out here, spends one-on-one time with you. And you just sit there, just, I'm kind of getting used to this. I'm kind of over this. And all of a sudden, the Father has to go, no, you see the one whose face shines like the sun? You're seeing part of his glory. Understand, that's my boy. That's not just Jesus. This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Guys, if there's one thing I could encourage you to do, and I got to start wrapping it up, just simply do that. Get quiet and listen to him. Listen to him. How do you do it? Spend time in this. I don't like to read. Seriously? Think about it. Even if it's one verse, no, I don't like to read. Who reads your text messages for you? Like, do you get a, mom, can you read? I don't like to read. Guys, we've turned this into a textbook or a theological document. Rather than God revealing himself to us and allowing us to get to know him, it's not just about doing things for him, but spending time with him And therefore, I want to do things because I know him. It's so different. He says, just listen to him. Peter, stop talking. You don't know anything. Just listen. Shh. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. Well, that's easier said than done. You ever had anybody just give you the advice, like you're terrified of something, like you're freaking out? And they come and say, what's wrong? I'm just freaking out. Well, tell me about it. You open up. And they listen, they go, it's no big deal. Don't be afraid of that. Wow. That advice. Are you Dr. Phil? What did you say? Don't be afraid. I figured if I freaked out, that would work. No, you're genius. Here comes Jesus. No, don't be afraid. But he touches them first. He says, don't be afraid. This is God. And he says, no, don't be afraid. And then watch the last part. When they lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Followers of Jesus, can I ask you a question? Is Jesus enough? Put it this way. If when you get to heaven, if you have a relationship with Jesus, if when you get to heaven, all the things that heaven has, it's promised to be there. Say it's all there and you see it. But Jesus isn't there. Would you be bummed? If you asked me that question 18 years ago, my first response would have been, I get the stuff, right? And I was a pastor at the time. I just wanted the stuff. Today, and this is not me, this is not, wow, he's so spiritual. Oh, God has had to break and wreck and mold and heal. Heaven for me, give me two chairs. Jesus in one, I'll sit in the other. That's it. I just want him. The reason that Jesus has to say, don't be afraid, is because when we encounter the Holy God, we're afraid. Somebody said to go, I'm not afraid of God. Seriously? You're afraid of the dentist, but you're not afraid of God? When you encounter the Holy God, you will be afraid until God says, don't be afraid, because I'm for you, I'm not against you. Guys, I want us to walk out of here with a big view of God, not what we've turned him into. Jesus, the one who was there in the beginning, spoke everything into existence, not the happy hippie of the first century, the God of the universe, who has everything in motion, that right now we spin at 1,000 miles an hour and we don't even know it, but he has it going. Guys, that's the God that we worship. That's the God that we follow. Let me pray. God, thank you. And oh, how I pray, God, that something stood out, that we were confronted with who you really are, and forgive us for the times that we've made you into someone that you are not. So, Holy God, we thank you. Jesus, you are amazing. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are in us, those of us who have a relationship with you through Jesus. And I pray that you would do something that this weekend up at Hume that you have never done before and leave us amazed. God, thanks. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for letting us be here. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone who agrees says, amen. Love you all more than you know.